Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie is a simple email. Yesterday week, we had the full programme was for the 75 minutes calls, primarily from the United States, about the election, which happened, as you know, exactly a week later yesterday. And I think a lot of people were surprised that it was almost 50-50 in terms of the calls and the debate, because this country, as you know, would be very pro-Joe Biden for a large number of reasons. But anyway, I know people talking to them afterwards were taken aback by the support for Donald Trump from a significant number of people. Now, one of the interesting calls was Natasha Doyle, who was a supporter of Joe Biden, and then her husband, Ted Schback, was in the garden at the time. Remember, it's early in the States. It's just after, what, 9 o'clock in the morning. And Ted came on the line. And this is what Ted said about what way he was going to vote yesterday.
Oh, it's got to be about money. It's about taxes and the economy.
Then I asked her what you would say if I asked you why she is voting for Joe Biden.
Well, because I think that she thinks that Donald Trump is a lying, egotistical, racist ruler, something like that.
Okay, well, Ted, good morning in the States. Ted, you got it right about the economy, which was by a long stretch the number one issue in the CNN exit poll for all voters. And you did say at the end of the phone call last week, Ted, that you were thinking and rethinking about what way your vote would go. Can I ask you, Ted, how did you vote yesterday?
Yeah, sure, Joe. You can ask me. I did vote for Mr. Biden.
Okay, so you shifted.
I did. I think the rhetoric and the Donald Trump is not helping the country from a leadership point of view, kind of walking around and kind of making a joke of the pandemic and threatening the fire, the medical experts that disagree with him. I don't think that's good.
Okay, so what is it that shifted you from a Republican vote, a Trump vote the last time, to a Biden vote this time? Was it as the result is now a knife edge?
Yeah, I think it really is the Mr. Biden. If he does what he's saying he's going to do, he's saying that he wants to unite the country versus unite the Democratic Party, and and he wants to take more significant measures to try to control and minimize the impact of COVID-19 on people between here and the vaccine. So that's kind of the swayer for me. It appears that the Republicans will continue to control the Senate. So if Mr. Biden, is not true to his word and he's trying to unite the Democratic Party versus unite the country, he's not going to get anything done, right? Because he won't get anything through the Senate.
Okay. I also asked you, who did you think would win, Ted? I think I asked every caller that.
It's a good question. I thought Joe Biden would win. And I actually said, people were saying, it may not be decided for days. I said, well, there's potential here that it's going to be a landslide. But, Mr. Trump has done a yeoman's job of getting out into rural America and getting the vote. So I know it's undecided at this point from what I can see, but it appears that Trump is going to win.
Well, there's a cigarette paper between the two of them at this stage in the the states that are, and it could be days before we know. For example, in Arizona, Biden at the minute is 1.367 million. Trump is 1.236 million. So, and that's 52-48. In Georgia, Trump is 2.384. Biden is 2.280. 4,000 in the difference, which is incredible. Michigan, at Trump 2.430 million. Biden 2.403 million. So, well, Michigan, he's way ahead there. But we'll keep going on the. You think at this stage Trump is going to win, Ted?
I'm looking at the same information you're looking at, but I haven't looked at it in the last few hours. But in the states that are left to be decided relative to their, you know, electoral votes, he appears to have the edge.
Okay, Justin, stay with us. Joe at RT.ie, especially if you're in the States, is the quickest way to get through to us. We'll ring you. Justin is in Madison, in Wisconsin. Justin, good afternoon.
Hello, good morning.
How are things in Wisconsin?
Tight. It's going to be 20 degrees today. So okay. If there's any misery to be bestowed upon us, at least the weather would be nice.
Okay, what would misery represent to you politically, Justin?
Well, you know, I avoid that religiously. I went to school up in Letterkenny in the north, up in Donegal, and yeah. I was told two things by my father: stay out of politics and stay out of religion, and you'll be fine. But when you live here, you can't help but be inclined one way or the other because of the impact it has on just life. And honestly, looking at the two of them, I'd much rather see Joe Biden win the election, mm-hmm. because you know when you're little and you're told like don't tell lies and all that kind of stuff and don't be mean and don't be bad and all that thing. Donald Trump is everything you're told not to be when you're a child, everything. And seeing another 4 years of that fella and listening to the guff and spew and bad things he says about different groups of people is just, it's sad. You know, it's a sad reflection on America. And it's sad for all of us that live here who are trying to raise children here and raise families here, because there shouldn't be a divide between people when we're all facing the same problem.
Well, there is a divide. There is a divide just in your own state. Biden at the moment is at 49.6%. Trump is at 48.9%.
I know.
Neck and neck.
I know. And if you look at the different counties, how it's playing out, you know, yeah. the blue counties are in the minority. So it kind of gives you a little bit of an inclination about how, first of all, you could fit Ireland into Wisconsin twice, but just how the counties break down, how it can be that tight given the number of counties that appear to be blue right now versus the number of counties that appear to be red. It's just, I don't know what to make of it. You know, you go out and you live your life afterwards. But there's a shadow. There's a real shadow over mm-hmm. an awful lot of things, knowing that this guy could go back in for another 4 years. I wouldn't wish harm on anybody for the political inclination. But I don't understand what people were thinking. It's put out in front of them. And I understand about the economy and money and all that stuff. I really do. But, like, you know, there's more going on than just money that impacts people's lives.
Well, that was the number one. Ted predicted that last week, and he voted for Joe Biden. He predicted the economy was the big issue, and he was right in spades. It wasn't the virus.
No, I know. There's no making sense of the things that skew people. And I guess if you don't have enough money in your pocket to buy stuff, well, then you're going to vote with stuff. Yeah. And if you care about the fact that you've got children that are trying to grow up and trying to go out and be good people in the world, and you want them to have some sort of an environment to grow up in and see some of the things that I experienced as a child, then you'll vote a different direction and you won't be voting with money.
Okay,
you know, I don't have a fancy house. I don't have a fancy car. I don't have a fancy house. I have enough, and enough is fine.
Okay. Say with us, Justin. Sharon O'Rourke is in Dallas in Texas. Sharon, how are you doing? Who's going to win it at this stage, do you think?
Oh, yeah, Trump's going to win. I still believe it, yeah.
And why do you think he's going to win? What way are things going to fall for him?
Because right now we've got the states to win it. We've got the electoral votes to win it. They would just call Georgia, North Carolina, and Wisconsin.
Well, Wisconsin.
So that's when I went to bed last night. Yes.
Biden is.
Yes, it's in the Trump column. Yeah.
And why is America so divided? 50-50 almost.
Because of the Democrats. They split this country. You know, and I'm not even sure when it started. But it was like they just have fueled like hate throughout this country. Remember, so I was afraid to even say I was a Republican. That's how scared. You know, the Democrats are so powerful. And I was afraid, I said, my neighbors don't even know I'm a Republican.
You didn't
because I was afraid to get out because they would shut me up. And I got silenced two different times. And so this is just not worth it. So, you know, so the conservative voice, the Republican voice was getting silenced across the country, not just here and me. But I was, you know, I thought, man, I can't even tell my neighbors the way I really feel. So when people would say, I don't let people know.
But you know, Associated Press have just called Texas for Trump, 84% right. of the vote in. Trump,
yeah,
50.
Well, last year,
Trump,
actually,
52.
Texas,
Biden, 40,
yeah, Abbott,
47.
Governor Abbott called it last night. So.
And you blame the divide on the Democrats.
Yes. And Russia, yeah. So, and when this started, I really don't know. Because before, throughout the years, you know, it really didn't matter whether you were a Democrat or a Republican. You could vote by the person. But then it was like in 2016, it became really important about that, you know, the Democratic, they're fueling hate throughout the country. Through lies, and, you know, it's like
Justin. Justin, is that the way you see it?
That's hilarious. That is not how it is.
It's, yes,
you know what?
Yeah.
Honestly, excuse me one second. If you were to ask somebody from outside the United States, let's say a reputable news organization, such as RTE, for example. Who I find they have do great impartial coverage of everything that's going on in the world. If you ask them to collate footage of people who are leaning democratically and the representatives in government spewing hate and violent rhetoric publicly versus the current administration and their particular approach to things, you would find that that's a very different story that would be told rather than the story that people appear to be telling themselves based on their political leaning. And I think it's very unfortunate because it's setting neighbor against neighbor for no good reason.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, but
neighbor against neighbor for no reason.
Yes, but what I'm saying is it's not the Democratic Party that are doing that.
It is the Democratic Party. Antifa,
you know,
Black Lives Matter, that's all liberal. That's all liberalism. It's all the Democrats.
Sharon, if as predicted Donald Trump wins, as we say, it's on a knife edge.
They're saying that he's going to win. Still now.
Some people are, some people aren't. But there's if there's a slight, it's a sliver of an edge at the minute. It's for Joe Biden, a sliver of an edge. But and that could change
on the turn of a dime. North Carolina,
Sharon,
Georgia.
What type of a country would it be if Donald Trump is reelected?
It would be the best country in the world. We have the right to speak. They're taking away our right to speak. We're getting whole guns. We have that right to that Second Amendment to have guns and bear arms. And the biggest difference for me was that right to speak because the Democrats are silencing everyone.
Okay.
Do
you have a gun, Sharon?
Hey, Joe, can I say something here?
It was Ted. Yes, Ted.
The thing I would say in defense of our person on from Texas here,
Sharon,
is the Democratic Party has been divisive. They spent months and months and millions of dollars trying to impeach Mr. Trump and discredit
him. 3-1. Let's head straight.
Go ahead, Ted.
Unsuccessfully tried to impeach him. Right. And so, you know, what the common person sees, you know, on television and in the news is, well, they're trying to get rid of him. He must be a bad person.
Yeah.
He must be doing wrong things. These are impeachable offenses. But yet he was not impeached. and their motive was to get him out of office so they didn't have to against him in a re-election.
But was there any chance of him being impeached with a division in the House, in Congress?
No, there was no chance. They're wasting the American money, Sharon, and then creating a perception that he's a bad person.
Okay, Sharon, Sharon, you mentioned about guns. You have a gun.
No, I don't. I'm a daughter. Yeah, I said, remember, we're a police family.
You're a police family. Okay.
So they carry guns.
Okay, that's Sharon O'Rourke. Let me go to Catherine. Thanks, Sharon. Sharon is in Dallas, Texas, currently being predicted for Trump by 52.2 to Biden, 46.3, even though that doesn't exactly add up, but there's other names on the ballot paper as well. Catherine Cronley is in Georgia. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning, sorry. How are you?
I'm fine. So let me correct something. Okay. Trump was impeached. The impeachment is the trial. He just wasn't removed from office.
Oh, okay, good point. Yeah, he was impeached. You're right. You're right. You're right. And but he didn't. He didn't lose his job. Catherine, Georgia. What way is Georgia going at the minute? It's tight.
It's tight. I think it depends on what hasn't been counted. If it's the urban areas, then it'll go Biden. If it's the rural areas, it'll go the other way.
Yeah, well, there's about I think it's about 100,000 between them at the minute. First of all, who do you think will win, Catherine, or who would you like to win?
I would like for Biden to win.
Okay. What would happen if Donald Trump won, which is a strong possibility?
Immediately nothing. I think we'll go more to the breaking down the rule of law, which is where we've been going. You know, he's repeatedly disparaged the press, tried to silence voices that don't agree with him. So basically the opposite of what Sharon is saying, that, you know, he's the one who's trying to divide us. And not that the Democrats are innocent, they certainly aren't, but Donald Trump's rhetoric has divided the country a lot more than it was 4 years ago. 6 years ago.
Are you surprised, regardless of the outcome, are you surprised by how his vote held up?
I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I am disappointed.
So you were expecting it?
Yeah. I was hopeful, I would say.
Yeah.
I was hopeful, but I'm just not surprised.
Well, at the minute, it's...
There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of, you know, like you see the guys in the pickup trucks. At the moment, I'm with my parents because my father's ill, but they live in a northern part of Atlanta where you see pickup trucks with the Trump flag and the American flag, and, you know, they're riding around intimidating people.
Well, in Georgia, it looks like Trump has got 50.5% of the vote and Biden is on 48.3%. There's about 100,000 between them now. No, there's a way to go, especially with the mail-in ballots. What will your demeanour, how will you feel if Donald Trump is re-elected, Catherine? Will you be cast down? Will you be angry? Will you be despairing? Or will you just say that's democracy?
I'll be despairing. And I have actually started to make plans to leave. I don't think I'm going to stay. I think I'm going to go try it somewhere else.
What do you mean somewhere else? Another country?
Another country, yes.
Like where?
I believe I'm going to Slovakia.
And what do you mean you believe you're going to Slovakia, Catherine?
I could change my mind. I could, but that's where I intend to go.
Well, Bruce Springsteen said if Trump is reelected, he's coming to live in Ireland.
Well, I would go to Ireland if I could find a way to legally live there, but I don't see a way to do that. Okay. I could find a way to legally live somewhere else.
Okay. Justin was originally from Letterkenny. What would you do if Trump is reelected? Which is a strong possibility.
I wasn't from Letterkenny. I'm from Connemara, Joe.
Oh God, that's a fatal mistake.
But I was in college up in Letterkenny.
Part.
Great college, by the way. Disappointed and sad. I've been living here now for 20 years, and I guess you just would expect that given all of the negative, sad disappointing things that I've seen done by this guy and his party. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with having conservative views about things. I have a few conservative views about things.
Course, yeah.
But I would consider myself to be largely live and let live and liberal, and don't put down anybody and don't condemn anybody to your own end. But that's all I've seen being
but
done.
But you can't...
Like,
but you, black, but you, Justin, and indeed Ted, you can't argue that people who voted for Donald Trump did not know, after 4 years of him being in the White House and then him, knowing him, he is obviously a celebrity before that, did not know what they were voting for.
I would argue that they got, you know something? You bite off more than you can chew sometimes. And then what do you do with it?
What do you think the electorate has?
Given that it's such a big part of your identity, saying whether you're democratically leaning or republicanly leaning, and I think those two titles, party titles for starters, are misleading. You know, you've got conservative on one side, and you've got liberal on the other side.
Okay.
So you've got the conservative party and the liberal party, and if you're liberal leaning, then you know you're one particular way, and you're expected to have one set of views. And if you're conservative leaning, you're expected to have another set of views.
And that's very.
It's polarizing. And the thing is, if you could have a conservative leaning government who are doing the right thing for the American people, because I think what a lot of people fail to see is not all about money. It's not all about stuff.
Okay, that was the point you made there.
And that's the agenda that's being driven. It's all about things that, at the end of the day, you know, apart from, you know, having enough money to put food on the table, don't matter.
Okay.
And they're driving an agenda that's designed to polarize the country. I mean, good Lord, could you imagine, Joe, in Ireland as it stands right now, if the degree of blatant lying and misinformation and lack of fact-based governing was happening? It has never been stood for.
But it's happened. By the way, in Michigan, the CNN are saying now that Biden is taking has taken a small lead, but that would turn Republican to Democrat in that state. Let me bring Kevin Battle is in Maine in USA. Kevin, good afternoon. If you want to contact us, it's the best way from the States, joe@rte.ie. Kevin, your position, please. Can I ask? We've been asking everybody, but say no if you will. Who did you vote for?
I voted for. Hi, everybody. I voted for Trump.
For Donald Trump. Okay. What do you think? Have you been following it through the night? It's early morning there. What do you think the outcome is going to be? Or does anyone? No one knows. But what do you think?
Oh, I don't know yet. It's gonna be close. Very, very close. I'm hoping that Trump wins, but it'll be very close.
And why is it so close? If it's the best economy in the history of the world.
Because I think because he does a good job, he's just not a politician. He doesn't present himself well.
Trump
to the public. And the Democrats have been in the media, been exploiting everything that he says. In my opinion, right from the get go, right from the very start. So.
And do you think if the virus, like the other, well, a number of things came out in that exit poll. One, that the economy was by far the number one issue for voters and how far down the coronavirus. But the other ranked, but then the other one is how well was the virus handled? And 50% said it was handled well. What difference did the virus make? Do you think he would have been home and hosed at this stage if the virus hadn't struck?
No, if the virus hadn't struck, I think he would have won... with a considerable lead because of the way the economy was going.
And what way did Maine vote, Kevin? We know what way you voted. What way did Maine vote, as far as you know?
Majority went for Biden.
Biden, okay. And this worry about protests, where is that worry coming from? Is that worry coming from a Biden, if there's a Biden victory, or if there's a Trump victory?
I think what you'll have is if there's a Trump victory, yeah, you'll have the protests, and they'll be out there crying and squawking. I think if Biden wins, no, you wouldn't have the protests. Okay. That's the way it's been since the beginning. It's the Democrats didn't the that have been the ones that have been more disruptive and more anti-president.
And what do you see, the Democrats in Black Lives Matter, or what's the other coalition called, Antifa, as they? Where do you see the Democrats causing unrest?
In, like I said, if Biden wins, you'll see that there won't be the protest. This is if Trump wins. Yeah, there will be.
Okay. For the time being, Ted Spack, thanks, Spack, thanks indeed. Kevin Battle, Justin in Madison, Wisconsin, Thomas Conlon. Oh, I'll come to Thomas after the break. 51551, but watch out. But Joe at RT.ie is the simplest way today.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Biden is now leading in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Trump is leading in Pennsylvania. Not that they weigh it that way, but the Trump lead in Pennsylvania is much greater. As I say, they don't weigh it that way, but it's much greater than the Biden lead in Michigan, Wisconsin. But on the Electoral College, a lead is a lead, be it one vote in most states, not all states, but the vast majority of states get you the full Electoral College vote. Fiona McEntee. Fiona, good afternoon. Good morning.
Hi,
sorry,
Joe.
Get used
good
to it, Joe.
Morning.
You're in Chicago. Yeah. Your mother contacted us last week. She mentioned it. You woke up, I presume, a few hours ago. If you did go to sleep, how did you feel when you woke up?
You know, it's just been a roller coaster. I think over the past 24 hours in particular. So, trying to figure out what's going on first. You know, I mean, I heard obviously President Trump made a speech last night talking about taking things to the Supreme Court, and you know there's still bucket loads of votes that haven't been counted, so I guess you know his response in relation to that was to be expected. He was kind of, you know, we've heard all that talk in the past week where he was saying don't count any votes that happen, you know, that come in after the election, and obviously the election is not over until all the votes are counted. So I think we're all on edge at the moment.
You're all on edge. What type of country? It's very. Is the vote much tighter than you expected? Excuse me, Fiona.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. And I think it's really disappointing and disheartening. So, I mean, I've been practicing as an immigration lawyer for the past 13 years. Mm-hmm. And to see the anti-immigrant policies that we've seen over the past 4 years from this administration, you know, they've been truly horrific. And it's not just, I mean, the family separation, what happened at the border was absolutely horrendous. But there's so many other policies that people, I feel like, don't even really get to hear about. And these are anti-business immigration policies, policies that are put up with a view to kind of limiting foreign students coming into the U.S. So there's a real, I think, breadth of just kind of a concerted effort on the administration's behalf to limit all types of immigration.
Okay, Fiona, stay there, because I'm now looking at Illinois, which the Associated Press had called for Joe Biden 55.1% against 43% and 20 electoral votes. Christopher Nixon Cox. Christopher, good afternoon. Well, good morning. You're in New York City. Thank you so much for joining us, Christopher. I know you're a lawyer, but for people here in Ireland, they would know you when I say that you are the grandson of Richard Nixon, who found his roots in Ireland in Timahoe many, many years ago when he came to Ireland on a very, very memorable visit. Christopher, good morning to you. And if you would, I know there's a delay on the line, but Christopher, can you give us your analysis of what way you think it will go and why?
Absolutely. It's great to be on with you, and it's always great to talk to my friends in Ireland. As you know, of course, I've been a supporter of President Trump, but I think that this is really a very tough few hours. It's been a very tough few hours for the president. So just to add my analysis to it, at this point, Joe Biden has just overtaken the president's lead in Michigan and now leads in Michigan. That lead will continue to grow throughout the day as more mail-in ballots are counted. And at this point, I fully expect Joe Biden to win Michigan. In Wisconsin, which is another key state, Joe Biden has held a lead for the last few hours, and it looks like, with almost all the votes counted, that that lead is becoming insurmountable based on the outstanding votes that mm-hmm. are still to be counted, which are mostly mail-in and provisional ballots. So our eyes turn to Nevada, where the remaining votes will be counted and the result will be announced on Thursday, tomorrow at noon Eastern time, unless they speed up the counting a little bit because of the importance of Nevada, which would, if Joe Biden's lead holds, which is about 9,000 votes, then he would end up winning Nevada, and that would put him over the top with 270 electoral votes. In my opinion, I expect that lead mm-hmm. to hold and to actually grow, because the remaining votes to be counted are all mail-in absentee ballot votes, mostly from Clark County, which is Las Vegas. And those votes have been skewing very heavily Democratic. So I think it's very difficult to see how President Trump could potentially steal Nevada from Joe Biden at this point. So I think it looks very, very bleak for the president. And I was just listening to the discussion you were just having about the popular vote totals in the United States, whereas right now the popular vote looks somewhat close, where it's about a little under 2-point lead for Joe Biden. In reality, there are a lot of votes in California, New York, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, very either deep blue states or states that still have a vote outstanding that are swing states that haven't counted yet, which will actually push Joe Biden's total vote up a little bit, so that the popular vote win will actually be significantly larger than it is now. The margin may actually double or more over the next few days and weeks as more votes are counted. So, you know, that's sort of my analysis of where the race is right now. Pennsylvania looks like it will be irrelevant, which will negate any sort of lawsuit the president will have. I'm sure he'll try and file some lawsuits, but it'll be difficult to overturn the Supreme Court decisions regarding Michigan and Wisconsin at this point, and with Pennsylvania looking irrelevant in terms of being a tipping point state, then or the state that decides the election. I think that this is becoming very clearly a Joe Biden win.
But even at one of the CNN scenarios in the last few minutes, Christopher Nixon Cox, is they will puts Joe Biden at 271 in the Electoral College and Donald Trump at 267. That is so is some divided country.
Very close, but I think that there. If you want me to look more into Pennsylvania, even though 271 wins it, I actually think that Pennsylvania has a lot of votes to be counted in Philadelphia, the collar counties around Philadelphia, which tend to be more Democratic, Allegheny County, which is Pittsburgh, another big Democratic center, and a lot of other mail-in votes. The key to looking at this election is that mail-in votes skew heavily Democrat. Mail-in votes in heavily Democratic areas skew extremely heavily Democrat. So I would say that based on the votes in hand now, there are 800,000 to 900,000 net votes going to Vice President Biden at this point. So I would expect the 270 number you referenced to actually grow to 290. And if you look at Georgia, there's probably a small a small majority possibility, so 55-60% chance that Joe Biden actually wins Georgia, because the outstanding vote in Georgia is mail-in in the Atlanta area, very Democratic vote, and it could actually put Joe Biden just barely over the top in Georgia, which would then make his margin, and imagine this for a historical irony, Joe Biden's Electoral College vote will probably end up around 306 Electoral College votes, which is the exact number that President Trump had when he won 4 years ago.
Wow. And so you are a Trump supporter. So what went wrong, Christopher?
You know, I, if I looked at it, and, you know, I don't want to be too verbose, but if you look at a state like Arizona, for instance, very reliably Republican state. Now, there's some changing demographics in the state, but that's not really the real reason, I think, why the state has been called for Joe Biden and why he won it. In reality, President Trump was very aggressive in attacking Senator John McCain and continued to do it after John McCain's death. Mm-hmm. There are a group of Republicans in Arizona that are diehard McCain fans and didn't like that very much. And I think that that's a reason why they ended up voting for Joe Biden. Additionally, the anti-immigration rhetoric is not appealing to a very important constituency to Republicans, a very heavy Republican constituency, which is the Mormon vote. And about 6 to 8% of the Arizona vote is Mormon, which generally goes 3-4 to 1 Republican. In this case, I think those margins were narrowed down because of President Trump's fight with Senator Mitt Romney and his anti-immigration policy. So that's an example of some tactical decisions the president made, or fights that he got into, which ended up hurting him and costing him the state. then I think that, you know, in the upper Midwest, I think that there is just the Democrats this time, this is Wisconsin, Michigan, and then in Pennsylvania in the Rust Belt, they said, we're not going to be asleep at the wheel. We're actually going to fight hard in these states. And they put significant resources into Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Joe Biden visited multiple times. He's also a very appealing personality to those states. And given the closeness of the election, I think that with this higher Democratic turnout based on an appealing candidate and more effort put into the state, that ended up making the difference.
And Chris, we're one of the interesting looking at Joe Biden's campaign and the support he had from Barack Obama, from Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, all former Democrat presidents. Now, I know he can't speak for your grandfather. He left office in April 1994. No, he died in 1994.
Yes.
But he left office such a long time ago. But was it not interesting that Trump had no former Republican presidents campaigning for him?
I think that essentially the Republican presidents would have been in the Bush family, and there's some lingering resentment over President Trump defeating Jeb Bush in the primary. So I think that probably caused some resentment and friction. I think in reality, the president has made the Republican Party in his image, which is a little bit more much more nativist, less in favor of free trade. And I think that that goes against traditional Republican orthodoxy, which is why the Republican establishment was slow to coalesce around the president. Now the discussion becomes, where does the party go from here, which is going to be the interesting discussion that happens over the next few years, months and years. And because the Republicans actually look like they have a strong possibility of maintaining at least a 50-50 margin in the Senate, if not outright control, the Republicans will have a base of power to rebuild the party, incorporating some of the elements that the president has drawn to the and attracted to the party, such as the blue collar vote, the white blue collar vote, but maybe returning to some of the more open-minded views the Republican Party has had on issues like trade, potentially immigration, but tweaking them in a way that won't lose the voters that have been attracted to the Trump message.
And I know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Christopher, but what way do you think your grandfather, Richard Nixon, would regard Donald Trump, if that's not an unusual question?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that, my grandfather always admires a fighter. And I think that the one thing that you can say about President Trump is that he is a real fighter. And, you know, sometimes he fights really hard and maybe a little too hard, as I referenced some of my analysis with the fights he's had with Mitt Romney and Senator McCain. But I think that, you know, my grandfather would admire that he fights, that he does stand up for the forgotten American, who certainly didn't feel good about some of the trade deals that the United States has been engaged in. And I think that my grandfather would have policy disagreements with the president. No one agrees 100% with anyone, but that he would very much admire how much Donald Trump fought and wouldn't give up. And, has been very much a good representative of the people that put him in office. My grandfather would admire that.
But your grandfather would not have had, I know he had his difficulties, obviously, when he left office in 74 against his will, so to speak. But your grandfather would not have had that. I came across it 2 nights ago, an interview he was doing obviously many years ago, but it was after he was elected with Pat Buchanan. And your father had incredibly incisive and generous things to say about the three Kennedy brothers. Edward Kennedy, who we regarded as the best politician. Jack Kennedy, he regarded as much more a Machiavellian politician. And then Bob Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, who he believed as the most Machiavellian person he ever met. But he was generous in his conversation. Whereas the nastiness of Donald Trump, to us in Ireland anyway, sets us back when he called name-calling, Sleepy Joe, Crazy Kamala, Hunter Biden, he brings up at every opportunity. Is that, how does that nastiness resonate so strongly, 50%, with American voters?
Well, you know, I think that what we've seen is that the president actually may have suffered from some of that nastiness, and maybe that was part of the reason why some voters turned against him. They just were sort of tired of the show and they wanted someone who was a little bit less confrontational. So I could certainly understand that. And of course, my grandfather was a tough campaigner, but he always maintained personal ties with the people that he campaigned against. And there's a very good story of when Jackie Kennedy came back to visit the White House for the first time. She when my grandfather was elected 6 years after the death of her, the tragic death of her husband, she came back when my grandfather was president, and my grandfather treated her very well, and she was very appreciative of how he was so welcoming and hospitable to her for something that would have been very difficult and emotional for her, of course, returning to the White House for the first time since her husband was killed. Mm-hmm. So that was a very poignant moment, and I think it shows the personal relationships that my grandfather would build, and it was a very old-school form of politics where you fight from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and from 5 p.m. until you go to bed, you could go out and have a drink and be friends with the people that you were fighting with. And I think that, you know, my grandfather was able to build those relationships, certainly with some Democrats, like the Kennedys that I mentioned. And I think that, you know, that was probably politics from a bygone era. Unfortunately, with the Twitter era we have now and the reality TV show era, it's a different world. But I certainly hope at some point we can go back to that that older world politics. I think that that's a good way to do things.
As I said, if you can hang on for a few minutes, I'd really appreciate it, Christopher. But have you been to Ireland? Have you visited the birthplace of your ancestors, as your grandfather did, Richard Nixon, in Timahoe?
Well, absolutely, I have, actually.
Okay.
It's my grandmother, who was actually a Ryan, Patricia Ryan, whose family had roots in Clare and Mayo. And I've actually visited Western Ireland, where she had her roots in the Ryan family, I believe still is today. And I visited that part of the country, and I'm blown away by how beautiful Western Ireland is. Of course, Dublin's very cosmopolitan. I've been there. But Western Ireland and the Connemara and Kirkpatrick are just a beautiful, beautiful part of the
country. Christopher, where are you now? Your home office or in your actual lawyer's office? In other words, I've got to take a quick commercial break, but I want you to look at who do you follow? CNN, who do you use for elections yourself?
Sure. I use all of the above.
Okay, well,
CNN, Fox News, MSNBC.
Well, have a quick look at all of the above, and we'll talk to you. I'll give you about 5 or 7 minutes to give us an update, if you will, please, because it's a very insightful analysis. That's Christopher Nixon. Cox is a supporter of Donald Trump, but he's saying Joe Biden is going to win the presidential election. 51551, wash your hands, but joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
As I mentioned earlier, Joe at RT.ie, a lot of callers from the States. We also have Christopher Nixon Cox, who is an attorney, but he's a grandson, as many people know here in Ireland, of the late President Richard Milhouse Nixon, but is a politician in his own right and is an attorney in New York City. He's been giving us his analysis. He said he's pro-Trump, but obviously a member of the Republican Party, but he thinks at this stage, and he did it in great detail for you, why Joe Biden will actually get over the 270 and win. That will probably be tomorrow, and Christopher is still with us. But Fiona Whelan Prine. Fiona, good afternoon. First of all, I haven't spoken to you since your husband, the much-loved singer and composer, not just in the States, but here in Ireland, as you know, John Prine died, and he died, unfortunately, of complications from COVID. Fiona, good afternoon. What is your feel? How are you, Fiona? What's your feeling today as you awake? What way America is going?
it's been an emotional roller coaster, you know. On the one hand, it's personal to me because of COVID-19 and because of how it's been handled by this administration. Obviously, very personal for me and my family. But, you know, I try to keep a rational head. I feel grateful that I'm Irish and I was raised to be a political animal. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with the previous caller, the gentleman from is that... Richard Nixon's grandson.
Yeah,
I think
Christopher Nixon Cox.
I was listening and I agree with his analysis. I've been going through 4 or 5 different TV stations here this morning and looking at everything. And, you know, it comes down to democracy. We need to count every vote. That's it. Every vote needs to be counted. And if that can happen, and it can happen legitimately with transparency, I think we will have a democratic president in the White House. It probably will take till tomorrow afternoon, I'm thinking, but I'm not a pundit.
Did you have your own run-in, so to speak, publicly with Donald Trump?
I don't know that I had. Well, I have, you know, I guess over here, you know, they put names on everybody. And so whatever, you know, so I'm an activist, apparently. But that just means that I was pretty vocal about my support of Joe Biden. I was very vocal about, like, for instance, it's important to me who ends up in the Senate and who gets mm-hmm. control of the Senate. And that starts at the state level in Tennessee. And so at the state level here in Tennessee, I did go before the committee to ask them to please change the rules here so that people could use COVID as an excuse and vote absentee. They voted against that. Initially, a court overruled it. And so it left it a little murky here in Tennessee. So if you say a run-in with Donald Trump, only that I'm, you know, I'm an engaged citizen of the United States is the way I would see it.
Okay. But there was you didn't hold back on your comments about him, your views about him on Twitter.
Oh, no.
With good reason, given what your family has gone through. Stay with us, Fiona. Yeah. We also have, as I say, we have Christopher Nixon Cox, the grandson of the late Richard Nixon. We also have John Brennan now. John is a very, very familiar, thankfully, as a very, very respected commentator and indeed former director of the CIA. John Brennan. John, good morning from Washington. What's your analysis now, John, of what way things are going?
Well, my analysis is that we're going to have to wait longer because there are some key states that are still counting the ballots. And despite what Donald Trump said in the early morning hours, this election is not yet over. And we need to make sure that we wait for those ballots to be counted in places like Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I think that's going to determine the outcome. But I think the Democrats are still hopeful and even optimistic, because the ballots to be counted seem to be from the areas that they have the greatest strength.
Well, I don't know whether you heard Christopher Nixon Cox is on the other line speaking, who, as I'm sure you're aware of him, John, in terms of his own interest in politics. But he, as you might know, is a pro Donald Trump supporter. But he's now saying, when he crunches the numbers, he said it looks very much like Joe Biden is going to win. That would be declared tomorrow. John, it's 4 years ago, almost to the day, when you first met Donald Trump, when you were head of the CIA. Do you remember that encounter? Was it in Trump Tower?
It was in Trump Tower. It was in early January of 2017.
Okay.
And that was the time when myself and Jim Comey and others briefed Donald Trump on the Russian interference in the election.
What was that encounter? Was that the first time you'd actually met him, John? And what was the encounter like?
Well, it was the first and, quite frankly, thankfully, the only time that I met Donald Trump. He listened to our presentation, but he was quite dubious about the assessment that we presented, which said that Russia interfered on his behalf and wanted him to be elected president. So he kept saying that it was, you know, could have been China, could have been other countries. And it was the consensus view of the American intelligence community that Russia wanted Donald Trump elected president. And I think there were a combination of factors that got him elected in 2016. But Russian engagement certainly was one of the most important factors in my mind, because they were very sophisticated actors in terms of their social media activity in support of Donald Trump.
And I don't know, yesterday evening at one stage, CNN were reporting, and a number of other cable channels and national channels were reporting, that there were robocalls being made to voters saying, this is Homeland Security, do not present yourself at the polling station. And Russia and Iran were mentioned there. But what was your, like, here we have John Brennan and Comey in the one room, the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, the president of the United States of America incoming. Did he acknowledge the fact that here in this room I have two of the two most senior intelligence personnel in the country?
Well, he also had the director of national intelligence, Jim Clapper, and the director of the NSA, Mike Rogers. So he had the four most senior individuals from the U.S. intelligence community But I think, as Donald Trump has demonstrated, he doesn't really care what the experts and the specialists and the senior officials say. He has his own mind made up, and unfortunately, he pursues, I think, a very corrupt agenda. And he continues to be dishonest, and I think we're going to see that in this election as he's going to try to steal it. If indeed Joe Biden comes out on top, he's going to use every tactic, legal and otherwise, to try to ensure that he stays in the White House for another 4 years.
And what do you mean legal and otherwise, John? Because it's going to be very tight either way. But if Biden wins...
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, the President of the United States has tremendous power. And I think he has demonstrated that he is willing to wield that power. And who knows what, for example, his attorney general, William Barr, might be directed to do by Donald Trump in terms of, again, preventing the normal process where one president turns over power to another. I have witnessed previous periods when one president would turn the power over to an individual from another party. And all of it was done very peacefully, very seamlessly, and with great respect for the office of the presidency. Donald Trump shows no respect for U.S. laws, for the norms and standards that really have governed our political process for the last, you know, hundreds of years. So, again, Donald Trump is a very unique individual, and unfortunately, he acts more like an authoritarian leader or a dictator from you know, a third world country than he does the President of the United States.
But there's no... Well, what do you see then in your head, John, as like Trump will have to leave? If he's defeated, he's defeated, and he has to be out of the White House on January the 20th, isn't it? He has to be gone.
Well, yes, I because his term of office does expire on Inauguration Day.
Yeah.
If, in fact, the Electoral College determines that Biden should be the president.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he won't create havoc before he leaves. So I think we just have to be prepared for Donald Trump to continue to be as outrageous and as unpredictable as he has been over the last 4 years.
And what's the most, insofar as you can answer this, John, what is the most unpredictable thing he could do between the next few days and January 20, if he is beaten very tightly by Joe Biden? Would he stay in office, for example?
Well, he's not going to come to that. And I'd like to think that the Republican members of Congress are going to come to their senses and not defend him if it is quite clear that he lost the election. He could do things like fire the FBI director. He could try to get some of the governors to, you know, challenge some of the results in elections. So I don't want to give Donald Trump any more ideas than he might already have in his head. But as I said, a president of the United States has a lot of power and influence. But also what he says really matters. And I think he obviously a lot of people who follow him like a cult leader. And could he fuel violence on the streets? Yeah, I guess he could if he's going to encourage people to take matters into their arms. And this is a very, very unfortunate chapter of U.S. history. But it shows just how deeply divided our country is. And I think the fact that this election is this close is more of the United States political environment right now than it is of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has tapped into a sentiment of the American electorate that really doesn't care if their leader is dishonest, has no integrity, and you know, pursues an agenda that I think is antithetical to what the United States has stood for the last 200-some-odd years.
But that looks like it's 49, if not 51% of the American voters.
Well, exactly right. And I think it's it's disappointing to me that Americans are looking inward now. And it's a very much of a selfish, quite frankly, approach to life. Donald Trump's mantra of America first, America first, really an abdication of the United States' global leadership role that we have played, you know, since World War II. And that's why I was really hoping that Joe Biden, and still hope that Joe Biden, is going to become president, because he believes in the partnerships and the alliances and the friends that we have developed overseas. He believes that the United States should be involved in the Paris Climate Accord and other multilateral initiatives to try to address some of the world's, you know, most significant challenges. And so if Joe Biden is elected, I think he's going to see a return of the United States that most Irish women and men have known throughout the course of their lives. And, but as I said, unfortunately, Donald Trump reflects the attitudes and the views of a very large segment of the United States population that is inconsistent with our recent...
And just one final question, John. And I know Christopher Nixon Cox is the grandson of Richard Nixon on the other line. I don't want to make this a partisan question as such. But John Brennan, do you think Donald Trump could do what Richard Nixon did, resign as president? But part of the deal, if it was a deal, was that the VP, Gerald Ford, who then became president, pardons Richard Nixon. Could Donald Trump do the same? Mike Pence becomes president between now and the middle of January, and Mike Pence pardons Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's entirely possible. I think Donald Trump may also pardon himself. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that prohibits explicitly a president pardoning himself. I don't think it would stand the test of a legal challenge. But then Donald Trump could step down before Inauguration Day. Mike Pence becomes president. And as you said, part of that deal would be a pardon to Donald Trump and his family members for any type of wrongdoing that they might have committed while in office.
Do you think if that doesn't happen, I know there was a list the other day in the New York Times of the number of lawsuits that he, 4,000 lawsuits against him and the number of outstanding cases. What do you think awaits Donald Trump, unless he does something dramatic, if he has to leave the White House on January 20th? Legally, what awaits him?
Well, the U.S. military is going to stay out of the fray, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I think it's going to really depend on those Republican members of Congress and Republican members of Donald Trump's cabinet to basically tell him what he needs to do. And Richard Nixon, despite, you know, the concerns we had about his being involved in Watergate, he respected greatly the office. He recognized that he needed to resign and step down. And I think, you know, he's a very different person than Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't care about anything except himself. Richard Nixon cared deeply about the United States of America, and he did the noble thing, which was to resign from office.
Okay. If you wish to say a few words, Christopher Nixon Cox, you can. I don't want to be too partisan, and I invoked your grandfather because of something that came into my head, but I didn't. I presume you welcome what John Brennan has said about your grandfather, which John would be highly respected as well.
No, absolutely, I do. And I think, you know, he makes some points that I think are interesting, which is the next several months will be potentially chaotic for the Trump administration, for the world. And you've mentioned some of those things. But I think it's really the uncertainty as to what President Trump will do that will lead some of our adversaries to potentially test and to potentially see if they can get away with certain things that they wouldn't. If there were a different president or if there were a orderly transition of power. So I think that John Brennan has hit on a very interesting point here and something that, I think that we all have to be aware of. Now, I think that the good news is that there are a lot of Republican senators who probably aren't as strongly supportive of the president as their public pronouncements. Mm-hmm. And I think that will provide some stability in this period. I hope it will. And so I think that that will be a stabilizing force. And I also think that President Trump's selfish desires will also, in a sense, lead him to think of what's next, which is, you know, doing a TV network or something like that. I think that's maybe where his thoughts will lie instead of sort of disrupting the world just for disrupting.
Okay. And just in the last 10 minutes, Christopher, have you seen anything on the networks that changes your opinion that you think Joe Biden will win?
No, in fact, I've been, getting some messages in that indicate that Pennsylvania is actually the confidence within the Biden campaign is growing that they will win Pennsylvania. And as the votes continue to come in Michigan, Vice President Biden's lead has continued to expand, actually. So I think that goes with the narrative I laid out that Pennsylvania will become unnecessary for winning the presidency. It will provide a nice cushion, but that the Biden lead continues to grow and the thesis is being borne out that the mail-in vote, which is still to be counted in these states, will be heavily in favor of the Democrats and will continue to propel Vice President Biden in the Midwest, Rust Belt states, and Nevada.
Okay. Thanks, Indias. Christopher Nixon. Guys, John Brennan, finally, would you serve in the Joe Biden administration?
No, I served over 33 years in government. I feel as though I've done my part for U.S. national security and the intelligence mission.
You have served under Joe Biden. What's he like?
He's a wonderful human being, and he is somebody who believes in bringing people together. And his reputation, a very well-deserved one in the Senate, was reaching across the aisle, working with his Republican colleagues. That's what America is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be trying to unite us. Yes, we're going to have different views on certain policy issues, but I think Joe Biden is really going to try to focus on healing the rifts that have developed in the United States, reaching out to that 49% of the American electorate that voted for Donald Trump. Joe Biden is somebody who has a wealth of experience. You know, he's not a perfect person. None of us are. Mm-hmm. But he's a good person. He tries to do what is best for his country. And I do think it's going to be a time of healing. And hopefully the people on both sides of the aisle are going to try to bury some of the, you know, the pain of the past and look to the future.
Okay. John, finally, did you, given your Irish connections, Roscommon, did you watch the Comey rule? And did you see Brendan Gleeson playing Donald Trump?
I did. And I thought he did an excellent job.
Okay. Because you've met Donald Trump. I just wanted to know what you thought of our own Brendan Gleeson as playing him. You give him 5 stars.
I give him 5 stars, yes. Well, you know, Ireland is the land of saints, scholars, you know, actors, poets, and authors. So Brendan Gleeson is continuing in that very august tradition. Yeah.
And you featured in it briefly as well, John. John Brennan, I don't know whether are you buoyed up at what Christopher Nixon Cox said, and he's hardening in his view that Biden is going to win, even though he is a Trump supporter.
I'm certainly encouraged, and you know I'm not superstitious, but I don't want to, you know, predict the outcome of the election before it actually happens. And you know, I think that's why Donald Trump really has done the service, both to his followers as well as to America as a whole, when he says we basically have won. No, we have to wait until all of the legitimate votes that have been cast have been counted.
Okay. Thank you so much. That is former CIA Director John Brennan, family originally from Roscommon, and Christopher Nixon Cox, who's an attorney in New York, also a Republican, and stood as a Congress primaries in New York. And his family, people remember Richard Nixon visiting Ireland, but his family are from, as you said, Clare, the west of Ireland, and also Timahoe. joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Thomas Conlon is in Wisconsin. Thomas, what way are you seeing it at the moment?
Oh, hello, there, Joe. I was on the phone there for a while.
Okay, I know you're a Trump supporter. What way are you viewing it at the minute in terms of the outcome?
Well, I choose to avoid listening to it right now.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there's a number of reasons why people vote for Trump. So, and why they don't vote for Biden. So, but you're only hearing after those two gentlemen that were on before, they kind of hit it on the head, though. They were very accurate in what they were saying.
Yes. And do you think I know you're a Trump supporter, but do you think he will win at this stage? It's very tight, as you know. Extraordinarily tight.
It is. Whether he was, I'm actually hoping, because I see it different. If Joe Biden gets in, I see something totally different.
In what way, Thomas? The economy?
Yes, it's going to change. Like last night I was hearing gunshots, and I live in a really nice little oasis, but I was hearing gunshots and I'm going, oh, this is not good. So, I think it will change. A lot of people don't say they're Trump supporters, but they actually are, that I've talked to, you know, and they're kind of very quiet about it. But as a conservative, I see things as dangerous.
Okay, say with us, Thomas, because you're in Wisconsin. I want to go and say with us to Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby in New York, after this quick break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Franklin is known as the Gabby Cabby, famous in Ireland. Peter, I know you say they're strange times and nobody would tell anyone what way they were voting. What's the What's the atmosphere today in New York, Peter?
Well, first of all, let me point out to all your nice listeners that we've got two different things we're talking about. Yeah. One is the United States. That's the country that's out there someplace. And the rest of it, what I'm talking about now, is New York City. Okay. New York is a very, very different place. It really is, in terms of how we handled the virus, how we're handling the election, and what have you. Never before in my lifetime have I seen so much venom and hatred.
Wow.
I thought that gentleman that you had on the telephone a couple of minutes ago was like dripping from his mouth with anger. You don't find that in New York City. People here in New York City are upset and worried. After all, it's a tough thing with the virus. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about because you have the same problem. But New Yorkers are copers. I mean, that's part of it. And maybe it's because, hey, I just thought of some reason. Maybe it's because the Irish built New York City. But it's a different situation here. You hear people are discussing what's wrong with Biden in terms of his politics or his social or his economics. Same thing about Trump. Whereas it seems to me everybody else sort of on the outside of New York is talking about how much they hate Biden, how much they hate Trump. We're not doing that here. We really aren't.
And talk about building in New York. Are shops being boarded up, Peter?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this is not a good week for you and I to try and build some shelves. The city was very, very concerned that there was going to be problems. There may still be problems. But again, it's handled by New York. There's enough cops. The windows are boarded up. New Yorkers are ready. And frankly, to the best of my knowledge, and I was working last night, there's nothing happened bad last night. Now, whether something might happen, yeah. But again, I'll say this is not Portland. This is not San Francisco. This is New York City. New Yorkers don't riot.
And who were they expecting to riot? So far as you know.
Well, that's you bring your personal prejudice. In other words, if you don't like black people, then you'll say it's black people. If you don't like Jewish people, you'll say it's Jewish people. No, it's a wide range of crazies that's happening all over the United States. But remember, we have 330 million people United States. I mean, you know, if I'll give you that a million are bad. That still leaves an awful lot
of still good, still in the electorate, 50-50. Donald Trump,
exactly.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. It is. But what I've done on a personal note is I don't discuss politics. I don't want to get into a fight with my brother-in-law. I don't want to get in a fight with my uncle.
And that's what it is.
So you kind of stay away from it.
Okay. Oh, great. Great to hear you again. That's Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby. We'll be hearing him again the next few days. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Rebecca Meehan, producer, and Ray Darcy's next.